The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Now we're joined by Ramita Navai, a BAFTA award-winning documentary maker investigating deliberate Israeli military attacks on hospitals in Gaza. Ramita, thank you indeed for joining us. For those listening who aren't aware of your documentary, Gaza Doctors Under Attack, tell us a little bit more about it.
So we actually were told in January 2024 that doctors were going missing in Gaza. That's how this film came about. And that's what we started to investigate. And then, of course, we realized not only were doctors, hundreds of doctors being taken from Gaza and imprisoned, first of all, taken to black sites, then imprisoned in detention centers in Israel, but that the whole health system was being systematically targeted by Israel.
And what did you find in your investigation?
That it's really interesting if you look at the patterns. First of all, what struck us with these patterns, the first one being that broadly, the strikes were happening from north to south. So they were pushing Palestinians. They were forcing the mass migration of Palestinians, what we now consider to be the ethnic cleansing of Palestinians. So as they would bomb or target or attack a hospital, Palestinians would move to the next hospital, which would be further south. The attacks against hospitals, by the way, started on October the 7th, 2023. And I think a hospital or a medical center has been attacked every single day since then. I think there are only a few days there haven't been attacks. Every single one of Gaza's 36 hospitals has been attacked and targeted in some way. Hundreds of doctors, as I said, have been taken either at checkpoints, you know, they were picked out wearing scrubs, or taken from hospitals. And imprisoned, that they were first taken to black sites. And there are some images of these black sites. Every single one of the doctors we spoke to and the human rights groups we were working with spoke to, reported to us about the doctors who had been imprisoned. They'd all been tortured, all been horrifically tortured. There were just some of our findings. Also, questions of Israeli medical complicity. You know, we spoke to two whistleblowers. One of the whistleblowers was an Israeli doctor, spoke to us on condition of anonymity, and said very clearly he felt that the Israeli medical establishment were complicit because doctors were part of the torture of Palestinians in some way, either that they were in the room and they knew what was going on, or they were actually playing a part in it.
Including in one case, a doctor performing an operation without an anaesthetic.
Yes, we heard that quite a few times. Another one of our findings, and this is a finding that will have devastating, that has already had devastating effects on the Palestinian population, is that as a result of this targeting and these killings of Palestinian doctors and healthcare workers, by the way, over 1,700 Palestinian doctors and healthcare workers have been killed so far. A whole level of Palestinian specialist doctors have been killed. And that seems very targeted. Also, over 100 now, I think, Palestinian doctors and healthcare workers have been killed in their own homes. And there is a real pattern there of targeting.
I know you're a very experienced investigative reporter, so I've absolutely no doubt that you would have, sought cooperation on all this, that you would have put the allegations to the IDF, the Israeli state. How did they respond? Did they cooperate in any way with your investigation?
Well, of course, we gave them a right to reply, and they sent us several pages. But those pages turned out to be mostly several pages of information which has been debunked. So, of course, they claim that Hamas command and control centers lie beneath every single one of the hospitals they've ever attacked and bombed, which in itself, well, it sounds completely absurd, and it turns out it is absurd. Of course, there are tunnels under the whole of Gaza. You know, it's a small, densely populated strip of land. But the actual claims that the Israelis have been making, there has just not been evidence to stack it up. And we really looked into it, as have many other organizations, including Forensic Architecture, which is led by an Israeli. And actually, we used a lot of the investigations they had already done, debunking some of these claims. And they've done forensic investigations into exactly where the Israelis say that there are command and control centers, looking at photographs, looking at plans of buildings, of all the information, open source information they have. And yeah, like I said, they have not been able to provide satisfactory evidence.
Now, I'm sure, I have no doubt that when you were making this film, you were aware that Israel would accuse you and the other people behind the production of bias. What lengths did you go to counter that bias? I noticed on a number of occasions, for example, in the documentary, you're very upfront and say, you know, somebody who's speaking now is a Hamas supporter, has spoken in support of Hamas in the past. That was a very deliberate decision, I imagine, was it?
Yes, it was. I think we need to be fully transparent, but I don't think that changes anything according to international law. You know, international law is very clear. You can't kill somebody because they support a terrorist organization or a party if they are a civilian. And you can't bomb a hospital unless you think it is unlawfully being used by combatants in a particular way, according to the Geneva Convention. And again, the US, the UN has also stated this. This has not been the case.
Of course, this documentary was due to be broadcast, and it involved initially the BBC. They then took a decision that they would not show the film, releasing a statement saying that the material risked creating a perception of partiality that would not meet the high standards the public rightly expect of the BBC. Now, it's been widely criticised in the UK for that decision. What was your reaction at the time when they made that decision?
Oh my gosh! I mean, well, it's completely outrageous and also ridiculous, because something is either partial or it's not. By saying they were worried about the perception of partiality, they're explicitly saying that the problem's not actual bias, but the appearance of bias. So the BBC is effectively saying that on this subject, it's more worried about how it's perceived than the actual truth. And so facts no longer matter. And that should worry us all. And the reason I say that is because up until the point that they released that statement, they had lauded the film internally. The film had gone through so many checks and balances. It had gone through legal compliance. More than any other film I've worked on, it had been fact-checked, as you can imagine, because the BBC are extra sensitive on anything to do with Israel-Palestine. I can tell you that from having, you know, worked on over 45 countries and made countless documentaries. I'd never come across anything like this. There are very obviously different rules that apply when it comes to the BBC handling Israel-Palestine. So when they dropped the film publicly, they also lied about the reasons. And that's a strong word, but I use it carefully. They lied about the reasons they were dropping it. So they said there was a perception of partiality because of comments that I had made discussing Israel's on a different subject. I was giving analysis on Radio 4's Today program on Israel's attacks against Iran. I'm originally Iranian. I've been covering Iran for over 20 years. And as part of my analysis, I said that Israel had become a rogue state or was behaving like a rogue state. And that's when the BBC said there was a perception of partiality. And that is why we're dropping the film. Well, they had actually agreed to drop the film, told us that they would not broadcast it in its current form 4 weeks before I made those comments. So I think that's very interesting.
Tell us about Dr. Adnan Albarsh, who was head of orthopedics at Al-Shifa Hospital.
So Adnan is one of five doctors and healthcare workers who have died in Israeli detention. Adnan Al-Bersh was loved by many international doctors, including British doctors here. We know he studied in the UK, and he started, he was in Gaza working when October the 7th happened. And his story is, you know, the story of so many Palestinians moving from hospital to hospital as hospitals were being bombed and targeted. The doctors were moving as well, but actually Adnan had an opportunity to leave, and he absolutely, like so many Palestinian doctors we know, wanted to serve his people, serve the injured. And he got injured in one attack. Then finally he was taken by IDF soldiers into a detention center. And we heard a few witness accounts of him being beaten before he died. In fact, the several Palestinians and doctors have described his death to us as a killing.
Is it your contention, is it the documentary's contention, that is it a deliberate effort by Israel to render hospitals in Gaza non-functional?
I don't know how else you could look at what's happening in Gaza. I think that's the only conclusion one could possibly reach. You know, it's also important to note that when hospitals have been bombed and attacked and they cannot be used, you know, doctors have set up makeshift medical centres nearby. Those were then targeted and attacked or bombed. You know, so you look at these patterns, as I said at the beginning of the interview, what's really interesting and what's really edifying and illuminating, what really tells us what's happening are these patterns of targeting. And once you see that this is actual targeting, you know, and they're Hamas fighting anywhere nearby, you know, the fighting is a long way away. And then you see how the population was being forced south and was being ethnically cleansed, then there's no other way to consider this.
I should say Channel 4 did step into the breach after BBC said they were not going to broadcast it, and they did broadcast it, and you received you have won a BAFTA for it, so congratulations on that. I should also say you're at the Dalkey Book Festival this year, which takes place from the 18th to 21st of June, and tickets are available on dalkeybookfestival.org. Just, I suppose, a final question, Ramita. What has the pushback been like from Israel since the documentary came out and since you've won these awards and received so many positive reviews? What has the pushback been like?
Oh, I'll say this, that actually it's been hardest for all the Israelis who helped us, and they are really, really fearful. We couldn't have made this film without some really amazing Israelis whistleblowing. And we didn't name the Israeli journalists who helped us. And of course, we had to keep all our Israeli contributors who were whistleblowing about what was happening, especially in the prisons. We had to keep them anonymous. And I have been in touch with them since. And they tell me that the situation has just got worse in terms of freedom and censorship, and they are all really, really scared.
Ramita Naval, foreign affairs journalist, documentary maker, author, thank you indeed for talking to The Hard Shoulder today.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With Kia.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.